Let's move now to the topic of money, lots of money, pumped into races all over Michigan, especially the ballot proposals. Joining us now to talk about those millions and millions and millions of dollars and what they did or didn't buy is Michigan Radio's Lester Graham, our Michigan Watch investigative reporter, and Rich Robinson, director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Rich, is there a fairly solid, reliable estimate as to just how much was spent on the campaigns to add those five amendments to the Michigan Constitution?
Well, the total was $152 million, and that number includes $5 million for what would have been Proposal 7, the casino gaming thing. So if you back that out of it, it was somewhere $146, $147 million. Proposal 2 alone was $55 million this time around. So that's California scale for spending on a ballot question. Just a tremendous amount of money was burned on these ballot questions.
And there we are, voters soundly smacking down Proposals 2 through 6. Lester, did that amount of money spent on those campaigns jive with the results?
You know, I was talking to John Bebo at the Center for Michigan last night, and he did not have Rich's numbers. I imagine he'll be surprised that it's as high as Rich is saying today. But even at that, he was saying this shows you can't buy the Michigan voters. It's simple. They'll do their homework when they need to, and they did. You know, I can't tell you how many people I heard poring over all the information they could get, not just yesterday and the day before, but weeks in advance because they really were confused by the ballot initiatives. I'm heartened by that, but also a little surprised because so many people just go in and say, oh, there's a proposal. I think the fact that there were so many people thought, oh, wow, I better bone up on this or I'm going to be lost. I'm wondering what's going to be happening next. A lot of people were concerned about the ease of amending the Constitution. I mean, we've done it some 30 times in the past, but I think getting hit with all these five proposals at one time kind of made people think, do we really want to be able to amend the Constitution that easily? The governor has already suggested that maybe we shouldn't allow people to be paid to gather signatures, you know, and I don't think neither Prop 5 nor Prop 6, the bridge question and the two-thirds majority would have gotten on the ballot without these paid signature gatherers, and probably the case for a couple of the other proposals as well.
Well, I think the situation is certainly 5 and 6 would have never been able to get the signatures without paid gatherers. I think what the governor is talking about is payment by the piece, payment per signature as opposed to payment by the hour. I don't think you can ban payment altogether. And the thing that should be borne in mind when considering that kind of an approach is Proposal 1 and Proposal 2 essentially relied on volunteer signature gatherers from the union organizations. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to affect that kind of movement at all with that approach. So I'm not sure what gets around it. I think one important thing is that the nonprofit corporations that are involved in gathering the money for these enterprises need to be ventilated as far as where are they getting their money. So Proposal 4 was essentially a corporate shell around SEIU money, mostly SEIU money.
And just for everybody, just to remind them, SEIU is?
Service Employees International Union. And if the casino measure had gotten on the ballot, every bit of money it had raised came in through a nonprofit shell. We don't know any of the individuals who were behind that initiative. So that part of transparency is very important going forward for knowing who really is behind these things.
Because that dark money issue really concerns you, doesn't it, Rich?
It absolutely does. Close to three-quarters of the money in the Michigan Supreme Court campaign is dark money. We had an Oakland County Circuit Court race that had $2 million of dark money. It was all through these ballot initiatives, literally hundreds of millions, not traceable to any donor in federal campaigns, and certainly tens of millions in Michigan election campaigns.
You know, I've got one observation about that, and that is, you know, Rich and I did a series of stories at the beginning of the year talking about money and politics. I really thought people would be interested in that topic, want to know more about it. And basically, it was shrugged off. Huh, politics and money, who would have figured? And I think until the citizens of this state start realizing that while they weren't bought by these proposals, mm-hmm. some of their candidates are getting a lot of money that is off the books. And I don't mean personally. I mean mm-hmm. in their campaigns or on their behalf, I should say.
Right.
And that is going to influence how we are governed. I think that's a big concern. I think we have to shrug off this indifference about politics and money. Huh, who would have thunk? And really get concerned about this and do something, call for some action, call for some transparency.
I'll say this. People don't write 5, 6, 7-figure checks for selfless reasons. They have an agenda in mind, and it's important, I think, for the citizens to know where that money's coming from to understand what the agenda is.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Rich Robinson, director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network, and Lester Graham, our investigative reporter here at Michigan Radio, talking about the money pumped into the race. Let's talk a little about Matty Maroon, Prop 6, he pumped in about $33 million is what I've seen. Is that about accurate? It's a lot of money trying to block that bridge. Voters really smacked that down. Now, do either of you expect more fighting from the Maroons? There was some kind of a statement in essence saying we're going to watch and make sure that not one penny of taxpayer money goes into that second bridge. Are they ready to lay down their arms or are they going to keep fighting? He's got deep pockets.
Matty Maroon's not going anywhere. He's going to continue the fight one way or the other. I don't know what that will be. I suspect a lawsuit of some kind will be his next move. But he's not giving up. He's not the kind of guy who walks away from a fight.
I think that's right. I think the reality here is time is money. And the longer he can filibuster the construction of the new bridge, the longer he can collect monopoly rents at that bridge crossing, the most important commercial international crossing in North America. So I you know, whether it's litigation going forward or whatever it is, the longer he can delay it, the longer he collects monopoly rents.
What do both of you see as the takeaway, now that we're sitting here the day after Election Day, about money and politics in a broad, broad picture? I'm going to start with Rich because I know that's your mission.
it is. And I'll say this. Personally, I don't think it's healthy to allow interest groups and individuals to spend without limit, but the Supreme Court's made a statement about mm-hmm. that. But the one thing that we do have to look forward to is transparency as far as money and politics goes. And I think the citizens of this state need to pursue it either by leaning on this legislature or getting organized and taking it on.
Lester, last word?
I just think it's going to take a while, and I'm not sure who's going to lead the initiative because this is not a partisan issue, mm-hmm. And it's going to require a grassroots effort to get an initiative on the ballot. That takes money regardless, and certainly none of these folks who are handling dark money are going to contribute to that cause. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, I'm optimistic that somebody will pick up the ball and run with it, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
Rich Robinson is the director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Lester Graham is the Michigan Watch investigative reporter for Michigan Radio.